Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Drinking?
Hmm.
What is that?
Gatorade.
Gatorade?
Yes, Gatorade zero.
Zero. Gatorade zero. No sugar.
No sugar.
Does that give you electrolytes and pump you up to do a podcast? Carolina
Cadillo? It does. It does. Jeff Jensen.
Devuelve el mentado y nos que viene azotando. La está botando, lo está acabando, la está matando. Cha! Ay, 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 chiquitita.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey guys, it's a Carolina Cadillo show. I'm Carolina.
Hey, Jeff here.
Hey, listen, if you guys didn't check out yesterday's podcast, it's up, okay? It's up now. Today is Tuesday, March 1st. The podcast just went up. It's with, we interviewed Kathy Aru, former Washington Post reporter, Fox News contributor. You know, a lot. And she's got her own magazine. Oh my God, yeah. But next time we're going to get her on again. Jeff wants to ask a few questions about Fox News, which you didn't get a chance to.
I want to ask a couple more questions.
Yeah, Jeff.
I'm curious about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Very curious
about. It was a very interesting interview. So, guys, check it out. It's up now, okay?
We didn't get her take on current events, but that was, you know, hey, look. Yeah,
I wanted to talk about, I didn't know what her bio was. I thought she was very interesting. And hearing everything she told us about Jimmy Carter, Mark Consuelos, you know, that just took up a lot of time, you know?
28 minutes.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Yeah. Anyway.
That's okay. She was interesting. So, that's
very interesting, that's good. Yeah. So in a couple minutes, we have Jack Rico on, who Jeff and I were discussing upstairs. When was the last time we had Jack Rico on?
I don't remember him on during the pandemic. Do you?
I don't know.
That'd be 2 years.
2 years,
really?
2 years
since Jack Rico's been on this podcast? I don't think so. No, he's definitely been on. It's funny. I saved some of the podcasts on the desktop here, the file.
But Jeff, we've talked to him like when Broadway plays were starting to come back. Remember?
Oh, okay.
Remember?
And then they went away again.
Yeah, you're right. I think he saw West Side Story.
Oh.
So we have talked to him maybe a year ago.
He talked to us about West Side Story, didn't he?
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, you know, Lou, who I work with at the radio station, Lou, who's Puerto Ricano.
Yes, very good.
Boricua.
Boricua.
I'd love to get Lou on. I don't know if he'll come on. Maybe one day.
What does he do?
He's interesting. I like him. He's got an interesting perspective on just things. He said... He didn't like the new West Side Story at
all. Really? Why?
Not at all.
Why? Is it too modern?
I don't know. Didn't like it. loves the old one. Didn't like that one.
Really?
I told him we went to the bilingual version on Broadway?
I loved it. First of all, I love West Side Story. They did a great job.
It was okay. It was someone famous was in it the night we saw it too, right?
I don't remember that, but it was amazing. I loved that.
Is that like Rosalind Sanchez or somebody? No.
Was it really?
I get my Sanchez's and my Garcia's mixed up. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Cajillos.
I loved it. I loved it, Jeff. I really did.
What, we saw the play?
Yeah.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it.
It was fun.
I don't know. I love the all the dance scenes, the music.
Well, yeah.
They did a great job with it. I got to tell you.
That's always fun.
Yeah. So in a couple minutes, we have Jack Rico on. Talk about the SAG movies that were nominated. CODA won, of course. Guys, if you have not seen CODA... Oh, my God. It's on Apple TV right now. Because of the Jeff of SAG Awards, Michael Keaton won, I think, for Best Actor.
Yes.
In a movie
a drama?
or drama.
Drama or TV.
Dopesick. I'm watching Dopesick on Hulu.
How do you spell that? Is it D-O-P-S-I-C-K? Or...
Exactly.
Oh,
Dopesick.
Like
Dopesick, yeah.
Does it have to do with... Does it have anything to do with drugs?
It actually does have to do with drugs.
Oh.
Yes.
He
and
looks...
doctors prescribing... What's it? Oh my God! I forgot the drug. It's like all over the movie too. Oxycodone. Yeah.
I took oxycodone for my surgery. Don't get into it.
It's a movie. I mean, it's a series, but it's actually very good. And Michael Keaton, when he received his award, Jeff.
Yeah.
Very emotional. Very emotional.
I did catch that.
Yeah. Very emotional because his nephew recently passed away from drug overdose. So you know, but it's a very touching, compelling.
I read somewhere
series.
I read somewhere that he didn't. He almost missed getting his award. He was in the
bathroom.
He was in a bathroom.
Yeah, he was in a bathroom. And who introduced him? What's her name? Oh my God, you talked to her. Took a photo with her at Vagina Monologues. What's her name? Salma Hayek.
Oh yeah.
She was like, she goes, Michael. She goes, come on, where is he? You're here. Don't be shy.
Really?
He comes running. He said, I was in a bathroom.
Nice. Hey, you gotta go.
That's what he said. You gotta go. Do you remember,
there was a comedy club years ago that had a microphone in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, remember that?
Yeah. They turn the mic on when people go to the bathroom.
I remember that.
It's great. That's what you want to hear you eating. I'll have the fries, the French fries with the gravy. You know, somebody's taking a whiz. No, thanks. I'll pass.
Oh my God.
I think it was the club where Andrew Dice Clay got his start in Brooklyn.
Is it really?
He used to have a T-shirt that said "Warm beer, lousy food."
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good promo though for a restaurant, right?
Yeah.
That's like that, Jeff. Remember that cough medicine? Tastes lousy.
Tastes lousy, yeah.
What was the name of the medicine?
I don't know. Tastes terrible. Oh my God, you're right.
Some cough medicine, right?
Yeah.
Is it cough medicine?
Listerine would do that too. Remember Listerine? Tastes awful, but you
really?
Know.
Really?
It makes your breath fresh.
Oh my God, I forgot. Anyway, so we have Jack on in like 1 minute. So get ready to call him, Jeff.
Yes.
We're going to talk movies. I want to ask him too. Has he gone to the movies? Have we asked him that?
No, we haven't talked to him in forever.
No, I text him a lot, you know, every now and then. So
I don't. I got to raise my mic. I'm a little low. There we go. Yeah. Now you can hear me.
Yeah, so
my voice should be as loud as yours, right? Oh. Actually, no, I make her
you
a little
guys,
louder.
You guys have to see the commercial. Jeff recorded. I'm going to post it up later, okay? It's Mr. Tortilla because Jess is a diabetic. And it's a new flour mix for cookies.
Yeah.
That is made for diabetics, and it's low carb. Anyway, so they wanted a diabetic to record it, and Jeff did a great job. Of course, I had add my little voice in there, right, Jeff?
Oh, of course, your little voice.
And Jeff,
that was your. I'm at the other end of Costco voice.
That's right. For those who don't.
Jeff. I'm in aisle 398. Where are you?
Jeff, tell the story again, Jeff.
You want the sausages or no?
Jeff, tell the story. For those of you who are just joining the podcast, don't remember that story. Jeff, tell the story.
Well, it's very simple. I was down some Long Island Costco looking for something. And
Before Jackson.
Oh, before Jackson, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you were, I don't know where you were. I didn't see you.
No, you were some aisle. There were two girls in the aisle.
Two, like, teenage girls there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I was trying to look cool. Like, hey, I'm a, don't worry, I could be your dad, but I'm cool, you know? And suddenly it's like, Jeff! I'm like, yes, honey. I go running through the
literally
tab with
yells,
my legs.
I think half the story, I think you said the two girls felt bad for you.
Yeah, they looked at me like, oh, man. If you want to take us home, you can't. No, sorry. I need another woman.
Oh, my God.
I need two teenagers.
Oh, my God. When Jeff told me that story, I was dying laughing.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think I was that loud. I guess I am.
That was intense.
Anyway, Jeff, Jack's ready. Let's get him on, please.
Oh, is he calling?
Yep. No, you're calling him.
Oh, he sends you.
You got his number, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk to Jack and talk to him about the movie SAG. SAG. I didn't get to watch all the movies. King Richard is one of them.
Yes, King Richard. That's the one with Will Smith.
Don't Look Up, House of Gucci, Belfast. I heard Belfast is really good.
Yeah, we should get my uncle on one day. My uncle hates everything. Like
we
Belfast.
Should get your uncle on. Yeah, you really. And he gets to watch all these movies because he's part of SAG, right?
Yeah, my uncle's grandfathered into SAG. He doesn't have to, I don't think
he's
pays.
He's grandfathered into that? How
like
is that possible?
Like, he doesn't pay dues anymore.
How's that possible?
I don't know. He doesn't pay dues anymore.
Oh, I never heard of that. I think I owe like $15,000. I don't know.
I owe a fortune.
Jeff, it's like mounts up. You know that?
Yeah, because you're supposed to pay dues. Whoops, sorry. I'm wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Call failed.
Really?
He changed his number?
No. Hold on. All right, Jess, trying to call Jack Rico. Let's see. Right. Get him on. Do we have internet? We have internet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the internet's been a little funky lately.
All right. Well, okay. You know, I'm going to tell you. We call people. That's how we do the things here.
All right.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey.
Jack Rico is on the podcast, guys. Welcome, Jack, to the Carolina Cadillo Show podcast. Jeff and Carolina.
Hey, Jack.
What is going on, guys?
How are you?
How are you, first of all?
Oh, man, I'm doing great.
I see you a lot. Hey, listen, so Jeff and I, before this, we're like, when is the last time Jack came on the podcast? 2 years ago? I said, no, I think it's been more like one, right? When you talked about Broadway shows coming back during the pandemic.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, I remember us having a conversation about that when, like, culture, it was like culture was brought to its ashes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It was a very crippling time for anybody that is from a city that depends on culture, on restaurants, yeah. on you know, all those types of things that enrich us, enrich our communities, and so forth. And unfortunately, that type of desert, you know, for culture, I'm glad that it's finally coming back.
Do you see that it's coming back? You see it's coming back little by little, or is it coming back full force?
Absolutely. And, really? You know, the thing about the city and culture right now is that the city, let's just be honest, you know, I think a lot of the power, money people, which is mainly white, they just left. They went off to the Hamptons. Yeah. They went off to upstate, et cetera. And
I sold them a house, you know.
You sold them a house, yes. And you know what I'm talking about. I hear they're coming to you with duffel bags of cash.
Yeah, I wish they were, you know.
Yeah, we wish.
The Smiths and Joneses, nah, they didn't quite make it out here, you know.
Yeah, and so I think what's happening now is that you have, like, this diverse urban creative that is starting to kind of provide their own renaissance on what New York is, all the way from Harlem to Midtown. Like, Midtown's about to become the next hotspot. There's a did you hear about this new bar restaurant that's opening up this week called Pebbles Bar?
No. Well, no. Tell us.
Pebbles Bar is owned by Pete Davidson, Jason Sudeikis, Justin Theroux, wow. Nicholas Braun, the guy from Succession, Greg. Justin Theroux is Jennifer Aniston's former boyfriend, ex. Yeah. But, you know, he's his own star in his own right.
I thought he was the Prime Minister of Canada. Hold on a second. I was getting confused.
No, not that, Justin.
I had to make a bad joke. Sorry, Jack.
There's a lot of them in this restaurant.
What's the theme of Pebbles? What's the story?
It's essentially kind of going back to the 50s of, you know, Rockefeller Center, you know. But with now, instead of a stuffy vibe, it's now like a cool, creative, you know, vibe. And I think it was really an excuse for a lot of these actors. They would go to Saturday Night Live, they would go to the Tonight Show, they go to the Today Show, MSNBC, you know, and they'd be like within the NBC roster of creatives, and then they would kind of like leave, you know, like at 1 a.m. and there's nowhere to hang out in Rockefeller Center. So I think a lot of these guys was like, yo, we're making a killing, let's put together some cash, get the right operators to come in, and let's rent out the Pebbles Bar, which is literally, you know where Magnolia's Bakery is?
Yeah.
That building. That building used to be an Irish bar called Hurley's back in the day.
Yeah.
When Rockefeller – and I love the balls of the history of this Hurley's bar.
Wow.
Essentially, these Irish guys were like, wait, you're going to do what? And they're like, we're going to build Rockefeller Center here, so you need to get the heck out. And they're like, over my dead body. Have a beer on me, boys. So they had to build Rockefeller Center around it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think I remember hearing this story for some reason a long time ago.
And when you go to Magnolia Bakery, that doesn't belong to Rockefeller Center. So the little guy.
David beat Goliath. Is that what it is?
David beat Goliath, and they stood still. And I think that's one of the more remarkable stories that people really don't know. And I think for them, it means something. And so they essentially – did like a 3-story bar club type of thing in there. Check it out when you can. It's pretty cool.
It's open already, huh?
It's open, and that's what I'm saying. I think culture is starting to really reimagine the city in different ways. Midtown, for everybody that was part of the culture glitterati in New York, it was downtown.
Yeah,
and now these guys are reimagining it as well. You know what? There's that Midtown Death Valley. Let's go there.
I didn't know it was that bad, though. Honestly, I didn't realize. I mean, New York, I know it was a ghost town pandemic, but I didn't think it was, you know, Midtown is Midtown.
Yeah,
you know?
So Midtown was Midtown, too. Yeah. I mean, you got the here we go. Talk about white people. We got the big Jimmy Buffett Hotel now in town, right? You got the Margarita.
Oh, right.
There's a lot of white people there, Jack. Plus, you might want to steer clear.
Plus, who just bought the Staten Island Ferry? And is
that's Pete Davidson, right?
Pete Davidson, too.
And who? And Colin Jost, I believe.
Colin Jost,
which is Scarlett Johansson's husband as well.
Yeah, so Pete Davidson, he's investing in the Staten Staten Island Ferry and the bar. Oh, wow.
Good for him,
right,
man.
But these are like local New Yorkers. These aren't like L.A. guys are, you know, like Justin Thoreau. He owns, I believe it's Ray's Bar downtown. And that's like another celebrity hangout, you know, that competes with a cutting room from Mr. Big. You know?
Oh, man. I haven't, you know, it's funny. I hate to say it, I haven't been in Manhattan in a while.
I
work from home now, Jack. I haven't driven into the city to do a traffic report since March 14th of 2020. So we're coming up in two years.
How crazy is that, right?
Yeah, we're coming up in 2 years.
Look at that.
So I'm cold, you know, I would traverse lower Manhattan on Saturday nights. And
remember that?
Oh, my God, it was insane how hot, and, you know, Delancey and you know, that whole Houston and the whole area down there was like, it made me feel old. It was all like, you know, all people in their 20s, you know, eating the 99-cent pizza. They don't know any better. You know,
I walked into the Chelsea Market just to go pick up some tacos. Like, the best tacos in New York are there at Tacos Number One.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in. And my wife and I are just like looking at everybody, and everybody's just like 25.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
And so the gap was like crazy. And I was like, wait, what happened to the mid 30s, early 40s New Yorker?
I think because of the pandemic, a lot of them have moved out, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, they're the ones that have the money. To be able to do that. The 25 year olds, I happen to think, are, you know, I think they're mom and dad are helping them out, you know, inheritance money, you know.
You make a good,
NYU.
I always wonder that because, you know, I say, geez, I look at young people, like, what do they do for a living? Are they in IT that they can have an apartment, you know, downtown?
Oh, I mean, mommy and daddy.
Listen, it's a luxury thing. Any kid that grew up with dad making $24,000 a year, there is no way he's hanging out at Chelsea Market doing nothing.
No.
Yeah.
The parents would kill him. They'd be like, what? You got to get to work. And so the people who mainly can do that are parents who are well off enough to be able to provide them with the freedom to find themselves, to have like that Maslow pyramid of self-visualization for them to aspire and to dream, which poor people can't.
You're right. You're exactly
Sometimes poor people, though, they're more scrappy. You know, I always get, you know, when you really want to make it, you know, I know some of that stuff's bullshit.
Right. But those aren't the spaces that they're hanging out trying to, you know, dream about. They're working their ass off. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the difference between a lot of these kids that we see. Is like, yo, who are these 25-year-olds in New York right now? Well, it's their time now.
Yeah, definitely want to make a. We should go to dinner one of these nights. Hey, Jack. So let me ask you something. Have you started going back to the theaters, Broadway plays? What's going on?
So about a week ago. So Broadway right now is essentially kind of dead. They're losing money. They're bleeding money, I would say.
You can get seats. Right? You can see shows right now, right? I heard this month and February and
you
March.
You can.
Right?
But see, here's the you got to really look at the business model here. Broadway about a year was bringing in about $1 billion.
Yeah.
Just cut that into half now. And what's really happening is a lot of these shows, in order for you to make money as an investor or producer, they have to sell out for like 3-4 straight years.
Crazy how much money, yeah.
To then have you make money. At least get what you put in.
Yeah.
But to even turn out a profit, then it has to go on tour, and that's when you start seeing some profit. It's like the worst place to really spend your money, but because it's art and a lot of these wealthy people are like, hey, it's like philanthropy for them.
Yeah, sure.
So when you go into a Broadway theater today – and this is why the mask mandate matters so much, is at some point, in order for them to make a profit, everybody needs to fit in. Now you walk in and there's like seating spaces and things of that nature. So they can never get 100% of audience to come in. It's usually 50 or 75%. And by that point, they're like, why are we even putting up a show? So they canceled them left and right.
Man.
Yeah, I think the last thing we saw was the David Byrne.
The
Utopia show.
Utopia.
We saw that.
Which I loved.
That was sold out, right? That was sold out.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
We saw something before.
Yeah, Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
How about movie-wise? What are you?
I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago, I was in New York and I got an email out of nowhere. And it was Warner Brothers. It was like, yo, Jack, we're screening The Batman.
Ooh.
We're wondering if you're interested in coming. You could bring a guest. So I brought my boy Mike Sargent. and we ended up one of the first people in New York to see the Batman. I saw it like almost 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And how was
the movie comes out on the 4th, but the embargo just lifted today. Yeah, today or yesterday. So it's on my Brown and Black podcast. I got the exclusive review up there.
Okay, before anything else, though, I know you don't want to say this podcast. Let them hear a podcast about the review. Thumbs up or down?
Oh, what is
this? No, I'll tell you a little bit about it. You know, essentially, if you like detective movies, film noir movies with Humphrey Bogart, like the Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, right.
Imagine a 2022 updated version with Batman.
Oh, really?
And so it's like a mystery movie. It goes back to the Batman original comic books, the detective comics, where Batman was really a detective.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't a vigilante. So they kind of went back to that premise and that storyline. And it's 3 hours. It doesn't feel like 3 hours.
Yikes.
That's Robert Pattinson playing the Batman now?
But Robert Pattinson, Mr. Twilight, man, this dude – I love him.
Really?
I thought he was great.
Okay.
I was like, wow.
What about the fifth Batman, right?
He's 35 years old, and he has that jawline, that Batman classic traditional cinema jawline.
Yeah.
And because he's 35, he was thinner. He pumped up a little bit, not too much. But the costume and the voice is all you really need. And he's violent, you know, without being rated R. Because it's a PG-13, but they push the PG-13 to its limits. Right. So you get the violence, the pain, the muscularity, but also that gothic vibe.
Wow.
That emo punk vibe.
Yeah.
That's what the new Batman is like. The Batman is really not for – what I like about it is it's not really for old school, you know, the old fans.
Right.
But the detective premise storyline is for them.
All right, we got to go.
And
see
then they just inject it with the veneer of like 2022 emo punk.
Of a superhero. It's got a little bit of a superhero vibe to it, but not heavy, apparently.
Oh, no. It's definitely superhero vibe.
Okay,
like, you know, they got the Batmobile, they got crashes, they got him beating up people, like
to the
point that they got to pull him apart.
I hope he kills Robin before it starts. We never have to
There's Catwoman, there's the Riddler,
I love Catwoman. Really? Oh, wow. Okay.
So what they're planning on doing is they're planning on taking all of these characters. This is the first movie that's building the new universe, the new DC universe that they're going to go then, and then they're going to have a Catwoman HBO Max TV series,
of course,
and then a Penguin one, and then a Riddler one, and then a Joker one, and that's the idea. That's what Disney's doing. They're taking all of their characters, Boba Fett, the Mandalorian, you know, the one of the Jedis. They're all coming back, but
now,
as TV series.
Can we only see this at the theater, or will it go to Disney or Apple TV?
The Batman's going to be in movie theaters, and it's probably going to make about $100 million opening weekend.
Right.
Oh,
hey, I think people are waiting to get out. And I mean, now people are taking the masks off. You're probably going to have a really good weekend. It's opening this Friday then, right, I guess?
It's opening March 4th, this Friday.
Yeah. Let's go see.
It's a new type of superhero, but also with a lot of the nostalgia of what made the original Batman.
That'll be our first
As opposed to the George Clooney Batman or the Ben Affleck Batman.
Oh, I love George Clooney.
He was terrible as Batman. Horrible. Unwatchable.
What?
Michael Keaton to me was a great Batman.
Michael Keaton, yes. I love Michael Keaton.
Hey, you know he's coming back, right?
Who, Michael Keaton?
Michael Keaton's gonna make a Batman return.
I heard, much like
Spider-Man, where they brought in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, the old original Spider-Mans, along with Tom Holland.
Right, Tom Holland, yeah. He's big.
Well, they're gonna do the same thing with the Batman.
Oh.
Where they're gonna bring in the old Batmans and the original Michael Keaton one, and I'm sure they're gonna have George Clooney and Ben Affleck.
It'd be great to have like Michael Keaton in a new movie, like as a barista, like he's serving a, you know, he's not the Batman, you know, he's just hanging out.
Okay, let's move on.
I'm just being
to...
an idiot. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, come
SAG
on.
Awards. SAG Awards. I gotta tell you. Can I tell you something? First of all, Michael Keaton is one of my favorite actors. Okay. Because of him, he won what award did he win for Dope Sick?
Dope Sick, right?
Was it best actor in a drama or
was that it?
I didn't
see. Because of him, I mean, I started watching Dope Sick. I'm like, oh my god, I don't know if you watched it, Jack, but it's amazing. I love it.
I never got a chance, but I know he got choked up during the SAG Awards. Yes. Dedicated it to his nephew.
Yeah, I saw that. Wow. Okay, let's talk the movies now. Yeah, movies. All the movies that were nominated. One was Coda, King Richard, Belfast.
I just want to tell Jack, we sound more informed now, Jack, because since we last spoke to you, We updated to 2022. We got a smart TV now, okay?
Oh, nice.
We used to only talk to you about network television. Now I got a remote that's got Apple Plus.
Oh, we got everything.
Hulu, Netflix. Yeah, I have things that weren't even invented on that remote.
Are you noticing the difference between broadcast content and like, what's the big difference to you guys?
I think it's the freedom. It seems like there's a freedom to do stuff on the streaming services that you can't do on the networks. I mean, I still think there is creative stuff on network TV, but I guess the streaming services offer, you know, a much broader array of imagination, if you will, you know, from the creators. You know, I mean, some of the stuff wasn't going to get on network television. A bunch of the I watched all of Ted Lasso, which I found amazing. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, so to me, that's the difference. To me, that you get a more daring stuff on the streaming services.
Yo, I have to admit and confess, I'm one of the guys that still doesn't get Ted Lasso.
No,
I have not been able to get into it, and yeah. I hate myself for it because everybody that I talk to loves Ted Lasso.
I have not even started to watch it yet. I have no desire because Jeff told me about it. I'm like, okay.
Well, the character was around like 7 years ago. They created a character for some NBC promo for when NBC was running soccer matches, or football as they call it. Football.
Right. They were trying to promote the Premier League, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they created this character, and I find it interesting. He's not as snarky. It's a very warm. There's something very warm-hearted about the show. I have to admit this though, Jack. I have to watch it with subtitles. I swear to God, I can't get the British.
Wow.
Even with the sound bar, the new nice fancy sound bar that makes dialogue really clear for me for my old ears, I have to watch Ted Lasso.
The dialogue
I have
is too,
to watch
yeah.
a lot of. I hate to sound like this dumb American, but I have to watch a lot of British stuff with the. I would miss with Ted Lasso. I'm telling you, if I didn't have the subtitles on, I would have missed 35%.
Can I be honest with you? Like, I've been watching a lot of television as of late, like a lot of it, because I feel like I've been making up for 2 years that I barely watched anything.
Mm-hmm.
And lot of the stuff that I'm watching, I have to put the subtitles on. And to be quite honest, I just happen to think the thing about subtitles is that it allows you to understand in a different way the context behind a lot of the scenes. Like, I miss scenes, and I'm like, they go so fast.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Sometimes they talk – the dialogue is so quick that you pick up on the meaning and the purpose of the scene.
Maybe I'm being wrong about it. Maybe these are closed captioning, subtitles for foreign films technically, right, I guess?
Well, I mean, anything you can read, you know, behalf of the dialogue. Yeah. But you're right.
God.
I think that's something that's going on with that.
Yeah, there's so much stuff. I said, what did she say? So finally, it was a new TV. So it took me about 20 minutes to figure out how to put the subtitles on, the closed captioning. But once I did, oh, my God, it's like a whole other world with Ted Lasso. But I have not seen a ton of the Caroline watched Coda. She loved it.
Did you see Coda, Jack?
I love Coda.
I'm so glad.
Coda.
I'm going to watch it again. That's how much I loved it.
The thing about Coda, I remember Apple. Okay, so here's how far I go with Coda. Coda, I first started hearing about Coda back when I was watching the first ever virtual Sundance Film Festival. Out of that, what came out was this phenomenal, sensational film that everybody at the Sundance Film Festival was talking about. It's like, yo, you got to watch this movie, Coda. You got to watch this movie, Coda. And then Apple bought it for the highest grossing amount of money in the history of the Sundance Festival.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So we're like, whoa, what is up? This movie must be really good. So when they finally premiered it, it's really about a deaf family who can't hear except this one daughter who can. And the burden of having to always be the bridge between them, between the hearing people and the non-hearing people, is really what the movie's about, because she wants to become a singer, but they can't appreciate her singing because they're deaf.
Mm-hmm.
So like, why are you singing? So it's a really interesting coming of age film that is probably one of the most feel good movies of 2021.
Oh, yeah. And you know,
you will
cry. Oh my, I cried. Can I tell you?
You will cry. Eugenio, that's like a guarantee.
Eugenio Derbez, I loved him in this.
Wasn't he fantastic?
Oh my God, yeah, he was amazing. You know that?
I was not expecting him to be that good. In it, you know, and I was like, this guy's a lot more talented than what we've seen. I think he has like another gear in him. And I love him being stretching out his acting to kind of do something. And he was at the SAG Awards.
Yes, he was.
The only Mexican in this Norwegian like cast of people. It was hilarious.
You're right. And I'm surprised that he didn't win anything, you know, like best supporting actor.
Because I mean, when you really look at the best supporting actor, you're talking about Ben Affleck in The Tender Bar, Bradley Cooper in Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, got it.
Troy Kotsur, which you remember, it was the old man right at the end of the movie where he's looking at his daughter and say, "Go ahead, sing." I mean, that broke you. That scene would break any person. Mm. You got Jared Leto from House of Gucci, which I thought was the worst performance of 2021.
Hold on. How about the movie The House of Gucci? Did you like it? Yes or no?
I thought it was okay.
Really?
It had a lot of star power, but if there's no great story behind the star power, then it gets old really quick.
And that
movie got old really quick.
Okay, say no more. Now, how about King Richard?
King Richard, I would say, is the second best feel-good movie of 2021.
I'm watching that. Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up to me is the most intellectually funny movie you'll see this year.
Hold on, one more.
Belfast.
Belfast is really a family movie, and it's about the meaning of home. It's beautifully shot. It's in black and white. It's an Irish story, but it minus will be the story of any immigrant, you know, that's going through a war zone like Ukraine right now.
Yeah.
So if you want to see what's going on in Ukraine, and kind of like how families were like back in the Irish Belfast days of the war in the 60s, then this would kind of give you that sense. But you would say it's prestige cinema with a feel good, but very European feel as well.
All right, good. So what are the next awards coming up for a movie?
Well, the Oscars are coming up March 27th.
So you see, are you going to be there?
No, I was saying I'm going to be on Latino USA with Mariana Hossa because we did a roundtable of Latino critics that are going to be talking about the Oscars. And so you guys should check that out. And in it, what we were really talking about is like, what can we expect from the Oscars? And I think probably the two biggest stories, at least for us Latinos going into the Oscars, is two. Number one, will Ariana DeBose, the Afro-Latina queer triple threat who played Anita in West Side Story, will she win the Oscar? And if she does win the Oscar, that will be the first time that one role, the role of Anita, was won in a row consecutively by two Latina women, which will then make the role of Anita the most coveted role.
Of course, yeah. Wow.
For any actress to play, because you know that if you play that role on film, you'll win an Academy Award.
I want to play Anita.
There's a lot going into it. She'd probably be the first Afro-Latina actress. You got to remember that when it comes to the acting category, she would become the second Latina, not Hispanic, because Hispanic, you would have to include Penelope Cruz, Bardem, but Latina, Puerto Rico, to win an acting Oscar. That is embarrassing. So there's a lot of history here.
Yeah, man.
And West Side Story, that's their big ticket to get an award. And then I think the next one that we're all really looking at as Latinos, especially in New York, is Lin-Manuel Miranda might get the EGOT, if you guys don't know what the EGOT is, when you win all of the Big Five awards, which is the Grammys, the Tonys, the Oscars, the Emmys, and what's the other one?
No, that's it. EGOT. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Yeah, Tony. So there's four, right? So he needs the Oscar. And
I think it'll
Encanto
happen.
is probably the favorite going in to win best song. He wrote that, and he wrote the lyrics. He wrote the lyrics for that. So if Dos Oruguitas ends up winning best original song, he becomes the EGOT, and we got two Hispanics with Academy Awards making history.
This has to happen. Let's start praying. This has to happen.
This has to happen.
If it happens, it's nice.
Are you
okay.
kidding me?
All right.
Shut your mic. Shut your mic. Hello. Shut your mic. Hey, and who else in history has won the EGOT in the past?
Well, Rita Moreno is one of them.
I was going to say she's one.
Latina. Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, she was also the first Latina to ever win an Oscar for an acting category.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the role.
So this is why the role of Anita is so big, because Rita Moreno, who was in West Side Story, playing Anita in 1961, to then flash forward to 2021.
60 years later.
60 years later, and to have the movie be remade and her role be played by Ariana DeBose, another Puerto Rican, but updated, I guess you would say, as an Afro-Latina, queer, to then win another Oscar award for the same role?
Wow. All right. Okay.
That's headlines. That's something you should do like a limited series about.
We'll scream about it. Carolina.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll be the first one.
We have not seen a new West Side Story, right?
No, I'm going to watch it today, though.
It's a work of art.
Really?
It's a work of art.
Oh, okay.
It's one. Okay, ask me right now, who do I think is going to win the best picture?
Jack, who's going to win the best picture at Oscars this year? Steven Spielberg?
West Side Story.
Really?
Really?
I think it's winning best picture at the Oscars.
I got to see movies.
How about Coda's not nominated for one of the best pictures?
It is. I just look.
Oh,
Coda.
Really?
Coda is a very formulaic tearjerker film. Mm-hmm. It's not prestige cinema. See, the Oscars isn't about popularity.
Right.
That's the Golden Globes. The Oscars is about the craft. It's about the cinema. It's about who is the greatest writer.
Right,
who is the greatest cinematographer?
Yeah,
who is the greatest director, actor, right?
Yeah, that's why the public gets all miffed and pissed when, you know, movies that they don't know win.
But Coda was nominated, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it was nominated. I just don't think it's going to win, you know, against Steven Spielberg and West Side Story. I mean, the opening sequence of West Side Story is something to behold.
No digas nada. No digas nada. I'm going
to
watch it today.
I have to admit, out of the 10 nominees this year, at this point, right now, I have seen none of them. That's how.
Wow.
Jack, I work a crazy schedule,
that's true.
And with a 4-year-old. So, I mean, I will make time. Like I said, I made time to stream a couple shows, which it's tough, man, you know, with the overnight schedule, you know, so I try, but I'm very interested in seeing a bunch of these films. I mean, I've heard both sides of Don't Look. I've heard people have asked, it's so funny to talk to people. I mean, I know my, I was telling Carolina, about an amigo of mine, Barikwa, he hated West Side Story.
I don't know why.
I'll have to find out, but it's funny when you get these differing opinions. I mean, another guy who loves film told me he hated King Richard. He thought it was just so standard.
Well, listen, you know, I'll tell you this. I think, you know, West Side Story is a musical.
Right.
People sing in it. And I think there's a lot of moviegoers that hate stories that are told in a singing cadence, which is the reason a lot of people hate, you know, Broadway musicals or Les Miserables.
See, I love that stuff. I mean, it's funny. What was the last? There was something we saw in the theater not long ago that was a musical. Like within the last 5 years, we saw something. It was great. Yeah,
La La Land.
La La Land was good.
Whiplash was another.
How about the one? Oh my God! It's like a circus. I can't. Oh my God! I can't think of. Now I'm going to kill myself.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kenneth, I think it was a Kenneth Branagh. Oh, forget about it. I'm lost now.
I don't know.
I'm lost, Jack. Sorry, I'm losing it. But yeah, I like music. I heard people get up and applaud at West Side Story, like the performers are there live.
Amazing. I loved it, the theater. I loved.
It's
a
work of art.
Yeah. The new one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, okay. I loved it. I'm going to watch it today. So
you like the original, you're saying.
Who doesn't like West Side Story, though? Who does not like it? I mean, I don't know, except for your friend. Everybody I know
it's
loved
it. It's an American classic.
No, exactly. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, you're getting confused. I was talking about the new one that he hated, not the old one. He loves the old one.
Jack, so you're going to be on a Latina...
Latina USA on, I believe it's on NPR.
When?
Friday,
this Friday?
March 4th.
Oh, this Friday then. Wow.
This Friday
what
it's
going
to come out.
Do you know what time?
I think podcasts come out sometime like at 5 a.m. and
oh wow.
Oh, I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to hear that. I can't wait to hear.
Mm. It's going to be a big interview. It's me, Clayton Davis, and we're going to be talking about Bardem saying that he's a minority. You know.
Wow. Do you put on your snobby NPR white guy voice when you do NPR, Jack?
When I talk on NPR.
Exactly. You know, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? I'm on NPR.
Instead of after, you say after. You know, you pronounce it.
After.
Yes, proper. You know, proper.
On NPR.
Exactly.
No, Mr. Porter.
I'm fascinated though. How you get, I like Jack's quick reviews, his quick take on things.
I love your reviews, right? Yeah, you know,
stuff.
It's actually so when I watch something that you told me what it's like, the critiques about it, I was like, yeah, you know what, Jack is right. Jack is real right, you know?
I like
that's why I said Jeff, I bet you Jack loved Coda. I bet you loved it.
So I love
that
was, Coda.
Yep, so
Coda was
I'm
so
gonna
good.
Watch West Side Story, I'm gonna compare them. And let's see what happens. All right, Jack, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. As always, we love having you on. Let's not wait another year to have him on again.
Oh, my God.
And Jack, let people know, what's your social media in case you want to, you know, get a hold of you, ask you.
Everybody wants to get a hold of
Jack
Rico.
Of course they do.
In the wrong places.
Listen, the best place to reach me at is on Twitter. I'm at Jack Rico Official. Let's talk through there. Let's chat about what's going on in movies. Mm-hmm.
Jack Rico Oficial, you mean, or Jack Rico Official?
Jack Rico Oficial.
Okay.
I love that. Jack, we love you, Jack. Thank you so much.
And take it easy, guys.
We'll see you soon, okay?
Thanks for coming on. Take care.
Bye.
Love to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Love to him.
You know what? He's on top. I'm like, he's... knows how to describe the movie. You're like that too, Joe. Jeff, you know that.
Well,
you're detailed like Jack is. Whereas me, I would say it's about a deaf family.
I like
You know what I'm saying?
Right? No,
about
I get
a deaf
it.
Him. He goes into detail, and I love that because he describes the movie to a T. You know,
without giving
anything
away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And you said that you're gonna cry at that scene. Now, of course, I saw the last scene of that movie. But I'll
watch
it anyhow.
You popped in, but you have to watch the whole thing in order to get the end.
I'm embarrassed.
You know,
like, I have no time. It sucks. You know what I mean? That's when the Academy Awards roll around. I always wonder, like, people sit there and watch this stuff and nobody's seen the movies, but people watch it anyhow. I was going to ask Jack what he thought of the three hosts. I forgot. We have three women hosting the Oscars this year. One's doing 1 hour. Did you see that?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to call him real back?
No.
Okay, we'll ask him next time. Okay, after the Oscars, we'll ask him what he thought about it. Because right now... they could do an amazing job, Jeff. We don't know.
Yeah.
It's three women. Tres mujeres. Yes. Power to the women. Hey, guys, if you want to if you want to advertise, 516-637-3254. We're all over Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carolina Cadillo. You email me at carolinacadillo@gmail.com. We have T-shirts. We have a lot of stuff coming up, guys. We're back full force with the podcast. YouTube is coming up. I'm just waiting for the step and repeat. We're waiting for a little bit of furniture. Hopefully, yes, I ordered a couple things. So hopefully we'll have some guests in here too. Maybe Jack will come here live.
Wow. Well,
I would love that. I would love
maybe
that.
Maybe help me clean the basement.
Oh, stop. Love you guys. Have a great day.
It'd be a great thing. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. At Jeff Jensen Show on Twitter. Traffic Jensen on Twitter. Want a T-shirt? 516-637-3254. We also have hats. Come on, I got to clean out the garage, everybody. Carolina Cadillo Show's a JJ production.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.